Good morning. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, September the 21st. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editorialized the other day saying Democrats should give up on Healthy Wisconsin, the universal health care plan funded by payroll taxes that's currently a part of the state budget negotiations. And the editorial included comments by Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch, defending the Assembly's action this week passing a separate budget for education. He was saying that the schools need to know now, and if this is passed, this separate education budget, everything else in the Senate Democrats' budget can still be on the table for negotiation. But he said if Democrats would withdraw Healthy Wisconsin, he would guarantee that the plan get a public hearing down the road. So we're going to get reaction to this from the primary architect of Healthy Wisconsin, State Senator John Erpenbach, and we will welcome your questions and your views on this for him. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We will wonder, do you want Democrats to stick to their guns on this issue and keep trying to get this universal health care plan included in the state budget? Or do you think the Democrats should withdraw the plan from the budget negotiations? Do you want this universal health care plan as a part of the state budget, maybe considered separately, or maybe not at all? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. John Erpenbach, a Democratic state senator from Middleton, primary architect of Healthy Wisconsin, joins us by phone. Good morning.
Hi, Joy. How you doing?
I'm good. So is Healthy Wisconsin the reason we don't have a state budget?
No. No, it's not. And it hasn't prevented negotiations on, like, the K-12 package or corrections or transportation or anything else. I mean, if it's something that the conferees can't agree on right now, just set it aside for the time being and work on something else. And with the budget negotiations, it's never been a situation of, okay, we're just talking about this one thing and we can't talk about anything else. I mean, there's, whether it be Russ Decker and Bob Jauch, along with Judy Robson, working with other members of the conference committee on, you know, various different areas. It's never prevented the budget from moving forward at all.
Yeah, what's your reaction to Speaker Hipsch saying that if you would withdraw Healthy Wisconsin, he'd guarantee the plan get a public hearing down the road?
Well, we're not really interested in a hearing as much as we are moving the legislation or something very close to this legislation forward. It's a situation, again, where if the speaker thinks, you know, a hearing will take care of everything in Wisconsin, I think he's kind of misguided. Healthcare is the number one problem no matter where you're looking, no matter what your political persuasion might be, no matter if you're working in a small company or a big company or you're self-employed. It's the biggest issue we need to deal with. And we put it in there to basically force the conversation and to try and get the other side of the aisle to recognize that we need to go much deeper than just kind of healthcare savings account sort of things. So my goal is obviously to keep pushing forward and try to keep it in the budget, and that's what we'll do.
Yeah. So what about, we just heard in the news the state superintendent of public instruction saying we need a budget by the end of this week or next week if we're going to make things go and not have huge property tax increases.
Right. You know, and Libby's right. We need to have a state budget. But again, Healthy Wisconsin hasn't gotten in the way. I think it's just something that those on the other side of the aisle in the conference committee are just kind of holding up as an excuse to avoid sitting down and talking about all the other issues that need to be resolved.
Now, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel headlined this, Democrats should give up on Healthy Wisconsin. So what's your reaction to that?
Obviously they're entitled to their opinion on the editorial page. And again, it's a situation, Joy, where just because something is there doesn't mean they can't talk about anything else. They should have been much further along than they are now, obviously. But to go to the conference committee table day after day and say we're not going to deal with anything else until this is gone is kind of shallow.
Yeah. We're talking with John Erpenbach, Democratic State Senator from Middleton, talking about Healthy Wisconsin, the universal health care plan that he is the primary architect of, has included this in the Senate's version of the state budget. And some are saying now that, including the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Republican Assembly Speaker Mike Kipsch, that Democrats should give up on healthy Wisconsin in terms of having it a part of the state budget. John Erpenbach says he's not ready to do that now, and that healthy Wisconsin is not the reason the budget negotiations seemingly have stalled and that we don't have a state budget. We wonder what you think, what questions you have for him. Do you want this plan, this universal health care plan, as a part of this state budget? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your questions about it or your views on this issue. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 17 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, September the 21st. Coming up later today, it's Jean Purcell in for Ben Marins. It's your views on the news after 4 o'clock. Gene and his guest will talk with you about the week's most significant news stories, your views on the news after 4. It's our Friday Week in Review coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about one of the news stories this week. It's whether or not Wisconsin can get a budget if the Healthy Wisconsin proposal is dropped from the budget negotiations. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editorialized along those lines this week, and we are talking with the primary author of the plan, John Erpenbach, who obviously disagrees. He says that Healthy Wisconsin is not holding up the state budget, and we welcome your thoughts and questions for him. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Lots of callers for you, Senator Erpenbach. But first, just give us an overall. You've been doing lots of hearings on your own, you know, throughout the state on this Healthy Wisconsin proposal. We talked to you when you first introduced it. What kind of reaction have you gotten so far? Is that, are you making some changes to it? Is it perfect? What's up?
Oh no, it's not perfect, and I think there's some changes we need to take a look at. We need to take a look at like dual income families and how it affects them. We also need to take a look at small businesses and how it impacts them. And if there's anything we can do to make it a little bit easier for a few years, we should certainly do that. But the little town hall meetings we've been doing all over the state, and you know, I don't know how many miles it's been this summer, but it's been a lot. The reaction has been everything from great to you know, not great. But whether people agree or disagree with this thing, the meetings always end with people, everybody pretty much saying the same thing. At the very least, you've put something out there. Mm-hmm. This is one of those issues, I think, that the public has been ahead of the curve for a long time on this issue as opposed to the legislature. And as I've said before, the legislature tends to be more of a kind of a reactionary body. And this is an issue that we really have to deal with one way or the other. And it's something where I don't think we have a tremendous amount of time, considering health care costs are going to double in the next 10 years. And there was a survey put out yesterday by a national group that in America, 1 in 3 Americans over the past 2 years have gone without health care. That's a lot. And of that, about a little over 70% have a full-time job. It's something that businesses are struggling with because they don't have a choice. They have to cut back on benefits, which means the employees pay more, which means any raise they would have received kind of gets chunked up by a higher premium cost or a higher copay or a higher deductible. And I just think it's the key to a very, very strong economy in Wisconsin. So we are going to have to deal with it.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, for those who haven't heard any talk about this in the past, your plan would provide health insurance for everybody or health care coverage for everybody, much like what you get as a state lawmaker,
right.
By increasing payroll taxes or funded through payroll taxes.
Right. Joy, in its simplest terms, it's a way for people to basically pool together and buy their health insurance. And, you know, people still choose their own doctor. They choose their own delivery system. I mean, none of that changes. But what the biggest change would be that we're all chipping in. We're spreading out the cost over about 4 million people who would be eligible for this, and when you spread out the cost, you're spreading out the risk, you know, prices come down. Again, in its simplest form, it's a way for everybody to buy health insurance.
Mm-hmm. Here we go to the phones. Carol in Kenosha, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I first have to say I apologize if I seem a little uneducated about the details of your plan, but I am a Democrat, and I have to say that I'm firmly against any type of universal health care for Wisconsin coming out of my taxes. And I think mainly because of the way that it's usually structured. I work in the health field, and we have so many children who are obese, who my children are going to have to pay for them to start having hip replacements and knee replacements. We've got school lists that require parents to send in bags of candies for treats. I can't get a tax break for joining a gym. My children have never had soda, will never have soda. We take care of our health so that we can afford to go to the doctor. And I think that this idea of putting a Band-Aid on these services is the wrong way. I mean, maybe the system has to fail before people start taking care of their own health. And if they're not willing to, I am not willing to do it because I'm taking care of my family's health. And, you know, I guess I kind of feel bad about saying this, but we're approaching it from the wrong end. Why don't we clean up the problems that are causing these health problems instead of saying we'll pay for the doctors to treat them? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Your comments, Senator Erpenbach?
Okay. Carol brings up a really good point about personal responsibility and doing a much better job of taking care of ourselves, whether it's eating better, exercising, and so on. And within the Healthy Wisconsin proposals, there's all sorts of incentives to be better. If you're better, it's going to cost you less money under Healthy Wisconsin. And make no mistake, Healthy Wisconsin's not free. People do have a financial stake in it. At the same time, no matter what we do, even if we do nothing right now, we still pay for those people who don't have insurance because those people are still going to go and have to see the doctor. And another really key component to Healthy Wisconsin deals with chronic disease. And she talked about obesity. And so under Healthy Wisconsin, there aren't any co-pays or deductibles if you have a chronic disease. If you're getting in to see your doctor and sticking to your program, because if that's the case, we save a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But no matter how you look at it, Joy, we pay for people who are either uninsured or underinsured. And the hospitals talk about writing off a lot of money, which they do, but at the same time, they turn around and charge more money someplace else to make it up. So the idea is to get everybody health care, to get everybody a primary care physician to get in there so you can start mapping out a plan to take better care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Carol, for the call. And again, to clarify, Carol said, I don't want my taxes to pay for other people's health care that aren't taking care of themselves. But this is a payroll tax. This is withdrawn from our check at work. It's not an income tax, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Ron in Plover. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Good program and good dialogue. I have a comment concerning the uninsured. In a recent study that was conducted of the what is the number Hillary's quoting nationwide? And I realize we're talking
47 million.
Of the 47 million, 13 million of them are currently eligible for Medicaid, but have not enrolled.
Mm-hmm.
So the federalized program would not do anything to address that complacency. The second thing is, when you're talking about it coming off payroll, it doesn't matter if it comes off payroll or not, it's still a tax. It's a wealth redistribution for those who perhaps are a little less responsible than others who are willing to insure their risk. The third thing is, the current model that has been implemented regarding health savings accounts and health reimbursement arrangements, I would want to ask the representative if he has studied that model and the results that are being gained with that type of a financing of our current system.
All right. Do you get that,
yeah.
Senator Erpenbach?
Yep. In Wisconsin, when Senator Clinton talks about the nation and what was it, 47 million mm-hmm. uninsured, in Wisconsin over the past 2 years, and it's cumulative, it's about 1.3 million people have gone without insurance. And Ron's right. There are people who are eligible for programs, but they don't know it. And that's one of the actually pretty cool things about Healthy Wisconsin is once you enter into the system, by that I mean once, if you don't have insurance and you get sick and you go see a doctor or go to the emergency room, automatically there's an assessment done by an administrator and they figure out whether or not you're eligible for Medicaid, Badger Care Plus, whatever the case may be, and you're put under the in the proper program as far as your health care is concerned and your health insurance. As far as the health care savings accounts, I think for some people they work, but for the majority of the people in the state, they won't work. And the reason being, the average income in the state, the household income, Joey, is about $42,000 a year. and that's before taxes. And things aren't cheap anymore. So I don't think people, for the most part, people have, you know, an extra $200 or to set aside each month to put in, into a healthcare savings account. And the other thing about a healthcare savings account is it doesn't do anything about the cost of healthcare, and it doesn't do anything to get coverage for people who are working but can't afford healthcare. So healthcare savings accounts, again, for some people, you know, might be good, but at the same time, it might not be. It could also be a deterrent to not go to the doctor, because if you don't go to the doctor, then you get to keep that money. And you don't want money to be a deterrent from whether you should begin, you know, getting in to see a doctor or not, because if you need to and you don't and you get more sick, it costs us collectively more money. Mm-hmm. So again, the healthcare savings account might be an aspect to something someday, but it's, you know, I think it was Carol who brought up a Band-Aid approach. A healthcare savings account really, truly is a Band-Aid approach.
Thanks, Ron. Richard in Menominee Falls is with us now. Hi, Richard. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. This is a very important issue. I just get a kick out of callers that call in and tell you they're Democrats, but then they tell you how they don't want to help support the people around them in the rest of the state. I mean, at the end of the day, then why pay for anything? Why pay for education? Why pay for police? Why pay for anything? This health care is a very important issue. But I guess the question that I had was already answered, but I got a follow-up on it, and that is our legislators are covered by insurance. Our federal legislators are covered by insurance. You know, this quote-unquote universal health plan surely seems to work really well for these people. And, you know, they don't care. And I sincerely mean it. And their actions prove they don't care about the health care of the people, because if they did, they would say, look, we might not agree with how to pay for it, but we need it, and would look and work together and try to find ways to pay for it. But you know what? The conservatives don't want to have it, because if they do, that will cost them their precious tax dollars, or it might take 5 cents out of their greedy, precious little pockets. This country needs health care, and we have got to stop having rhetoric like your guest. Yes, he's a great man. He wants to do things, but you know what? Do something. You're not doing anything, just like our federal people aren't, and now like you're not. Do something to help this country. Don't sit here and talk. Thank you.
Well, that kind of turned on you there at the end.
I think what we've done with Healthy Wisconsin is we're about as serious as we possibly can be, when I say we, the Senate Democrats, about doing something about health care. Otherwise, it wouldn't be where it is today. The health care coverage under Healthy Wisconsin is the same choice as I have. So if you live in my Senate district, you're going to have the same choice as I have. And we can't, you know, in good conscience, forward a health care plan with benefits that are less than what people pay for us. So, I mean, Richard brings up an extremely good point. This health care, whether anybody, you know, wants to dispute this or not, it's the most important issue that we need to deal with. It's costing us a tremendous amount of money. Mm-hmm. So as far as the conference committee goes, I mean, you started off the show, Joey, by saying, is it getting in the way? You know, if there was an honest, legitimate proposal from the other side of the aisle as far as a counter is concerned to Healthy Wisconsin, and they were bogged down because of it, I could understand how it's getting in the way. But we have not seen one single shred of seriousness from the other side of the aisle as far as a counter proposal goes. So,
just the health savings account is what the
other side wants. Yeah, and, you know, it's just, it's very, very frustrating. You can hear it in Richard's voice. You know, we've been dancing around with this issue for a long, long time, and this is the first comprehensive proposal to change the system that's out there.
We're going to talk more with John Erpenbach, Democratic State Senator from Middleton, about Healthy Wisconsin after we check the latest news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Friday, September the 21st. We're wondering this hour whether Democrats should give up on Healthy Wisconsin, the universal health care proposal that's in the state budget. At least give it up as a part of the state budget. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editorialized this week that Democrats should do that as a way to get the stalled budget process going again and getting a state budget passed in Wisconsin. Our guest this hour disagrees. He says Healthy Wisconsin is not holding up the state budget, and he is John Erpenbach, the primary architect behind Healthy Wisconsin, a Democratic state senator from Middleton. We welcome your thoughts and questions about this at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Richard in Elkhorn has been waiting. Hi, Richard. You're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to ask Mr. Erpenbach what his opinion is on Governor Doyle's lack of support for healthy Wisconsin. It seems like, to me, like he's raising a great deal of money from the people who are opposed to it.
Well, I don't know where the governor is raising his money from, and ideally, I would have liked to have seen the governor, I guess, be a little bit louder on the issue. I mean, he recognizes that health care is a big problem, and I think what he's proposed with Badger Care Plus is a very good thing, and that's assuming we get an okay from the federal government on it. But I think it's a good thing, and it works very well with Healthy Wisconsin. But it's something where, again, the whole health care issue, it's a big problem, and it's going to take a big change. And it's something that I think for some people, it's pretty difficult to try and deal with a change that large. But this has been a problem that's been growing for a long time, and really the only way to deal with it is not to blow up the system, because we have good quality health care in the state. But the idea is to open the doors for people who can't afford it anymore. So, I mean, ideally, it would have been nice to see the governor be a little bit louder on the issue.
Yeah. Do you know? I don't know where that echo is coming from, but Senator Erpenbach, I saw an editorial earlier this week in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, or maybe it was last week, saying that the governor should actually take your majority leader, Judy Robson, aside and tell her to pull it off the table. Do you know if he's done that?
I know there's been some meetings going on, but I haven't been in them, so I don't know what the topic has been. I mean, the governor's got a job to try and help move the budget along as best as he can, and I think he's doing a really good job with that, considering how at times it can be difficult to deal with legislators in a situation like this. But again, you know, if health care is the issue that I think it is, and I think a lot of people in the state think it is, whether they agree with Healthy Wisconsin or not, I would like to see it play a much larger role in the state budget, both coming out of the governor's original budget, coming out of our budget, and then coming out of the assembly budget.
Mm-hmm. Next, we go to David in Fort Atkinson. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
I'd like to ask the senator whether this Healthy Wisconsin is going to be an opt-in, opt-out program, and how much the average family can expect to pay per month under the program. And I'd also like the opportunity to respond to his comments on the air.
Healthy Wisconsin basically would be mandatory, and it's a pretty harsh word, but it would be mandatory, and that's the only way something like this would work. Because if people are allowed to opt out, what happens is the insurance companies will come along and cherry pick the healthiest of the healthy, and offer them a very low rate, and for everybody else, their rates will go way up. So that's why it's mandatory, and it's going to cost the average family about $140 a month. There's a $20 copay when you go see the doctor, except for anything preventative. And for the family, there's a yearly $600 deductible. And that's the $140 is based on the average, again, the average household income of $42,000.
And what if a family was making more than the $42,000?
Basically, it's 4% of whatever the Social Security wages are. So if a family's making more than $42,000, it's 4% of what the Social Security wages would be.
Well, let's see. And then that means I'm going to end up paying more for my health insurance than I'm paying now. I will have no choice because it'll be mandatory. I'd rather be able to take advantage of my health savings account, put the money in there. That reduces my taxable income, and I may not end up spending the money that month. It may just accumulate over time, depending on how well I take care of my family, which, of course, is an incentive to making sure that I do all the preventative care and exercise and diet and all that other kind of stuff that we're told to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the idea of this mandatory health care that I have to pay for, and that's going to cost me more than what I'm paying for now.
And on
top of that, it'll affect how my employer views my total compensation package, which means my raise won't be as big as it could be, because they're going to look at it and say, well, yeah, but we're paying an extra X amount of dollars a year in payroll taxes for this healthy Wisconsin.
David, we get that you don't like it, Senator Erpenbach?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, we'll start with the raise. For employers that are providing health care out there right now, chances are very, very good that they're going to save money, and in some cases a tremendous amount of money under Healthy Wisconsin. So I don't think that affects raises for anybody out there. And David brings up a point with the health care savings accounts. Obviously, for him, it works. Mm-hmm. But for the majority of the people of this state, it's something they can't afford to do. We can't afford to do that. And again, the health care savings accounts, don't do anything to address the cost of health care. It doesn't do anything to bring down the cost of health care, and it doesn't do anything to expand coverage to people. And for some people, if Healthy Wisconsin costs them more money than they're paying now, chances are they've got an extremely high deductible plan where you've got to spend, you know, $2,000 or $4,000 of a deductible before your insurance even kicks in. So if somebody gets really sick and someone's sitting in a high deductible plan, chances are they're going to be hurting financially.
Yeah, this individual mandate is a part of many universal health care plans, including
right.
Hillary Clinton's announced this week. Why does it have to be mandatory?
Because what happens, again, is the insurance companies, I mean, it's all based on, you know, when it comes to insurance, it's all based on numbers, obviously. And the younger you are, the healthier chances are you're going to be, the cheaper it's going to be to cover you, and the more money the insurance companies will make off of you. So the reason why it is mandatory is the only way to hold down the cost, or one of the biggest ways to hold down the cost, is to have a very large purchasing pool. That way, if someone is sick, it's not going to be as expensive for them as it would be normally, and because you're spreading out the risk. So if you've got a company of 100 people and someone gets sick, I mean really sick, if that company of 100 people can still find health care, number one, it's going to be extremely expensive. But if you take that person and they get sick in a purchasing pool of 4 million people, it's not really even, you know, a drop in the bucket as far as the cost to the 4 million people are concerned. So it's all a matter of spreading out the risk. And the larger the purchasing pool, the easier it is to spread out the risk. That's mm-hmm. why it's mandatory.
Larry in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. Well, I'm in favor of the Democrats' plan for health care. A family without insurance can be driven into bankruptcy by an illness or an injury. Some callers have expressed concern about costs of this insurance, but it's worth some cost for a family to have protection against financial ruin. One more point. I believe this proposal should be kept in the budget bill. The budget is the one bill that must pass. If the Republicans can keep this out of the budget bill, they can stall forever. But keeping it in the budget forces the Republicans to address this vital need. Republicans have traditionally been opposed to government programs to help families. They're willing to have government programs to help corporations. But I think it's necessary for the Dems to keep this pressure on the Republicans, keep it in the budget bill, and let the Republicans explain to the voters why they're opposed to it. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel does a disservice, I think, in focusing on the Democrats. It should focus on the Republicans and ask them why they won't be in favor of such a marvelous bill for Wisconsin families. Mm.
So if it's not in the budget, it may not happen, Senator Erpenbach?
Well, I tell you what, if it ends up not being in the budget, I would tend to think we'll have a separate piece of legislation and we'll keep doing what we're doing. We'll hold hearings on it and come up with something we can pass the Senate and get it over to the Assembly. But Larry does bring up a point. There are some great programs out there like senior care that became law because it was put in the state budget. Had senior care basically been on its own and as a separate piece of legislation, I'm not certain it would have become law. So the budget, whether people think it's a good idea or not, the budget has been a vehicle to pass some pretty sweeping pieces of essentially standalone legislation like senior care that end up being a very, very good thing. But the budget is certainly the only vehicle around here to force one side or the other to sit down about and talk about the issue that you think is the most important.
Yeah, we're talking with John Erpenbach, state senator from Middleton, who says Wisconsin's state budget may be way overdue, but it's not his push for universal health care that's to blame. 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890 if you'd like to join in. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock. After 8, it's our Friday Week in Review, when we talk with two guests from different perspectives about the top stories of the week. We'll be welcoming in Tony Palmieri and John Sharpless to talk with you about the news of the week after 8. Right now, we're talking with State Senator John Erpenbach about Healthy Wisconsin. and whether or not it is stalling the state budget and state budget negotiations. He says, no, it's not. Mike in Oak Creek, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I applaud the senator and his colleagues' efforts. Were it to be that he would be in my area, I would be voting for him on this cause alone.
Well, Mike, you know, you could always move.
I may have to. We'll see if... I won't go there.
Okay.
I would like to respond to some of the other callers' comments and then just make a general comment. When people call in and talk about the health care savings accounts and the individual responsibilities, I applaud their efforts. I think that is what every person should be doing. However, when we talk about healthcare savings accounts, we're trying to take an individual tactic against a societal problem. And an individual tactic like a healthcare savings account, the senator's already talked about the inability of some people in our society to be able to to pay into those type of situations. But I think what we really need to be talking about is when we have healthcare savings accounts as an alternative to guaranteed universal coverage, not even talking about how we fund it, we really have to take into account how do we deal with the things that all people have happen to them. They have accidents happen to them. Children fall off their bikes and break their legs. People get old. When they get old, they get heart disease. That weekend that when they were 16 years old, they laid in the sun too long, they get skin cancer when they're 60. I mean, these are societal issues that we're not going to deal with individual tactical solutions. The Republicans in their political philosophy are really going after Adam Smith's tenets in the Wealth of Nations about the invisible hand is going to, of the marketplace, is going to guide or fix our problems. Well, there's two things to remember about Adam
very,
Smith.
Very quickly, Mike, I'm sorry, you're making great points, but it's very hard to hear you with your cell phone. It's hard to hear what you're saying. So could you please be brief with your remaining point?
It's very quick. That'd have been done already. Is that Adam Smith's invisible hand may be an open, gentle, guiding hand, or it may be a hammer of a fist. And the second thing is that Adam Smith's philosophy was originally based on a moral, compassionate man. And without the moral, compassionate man, you can't read Wealth of Nations the same way.
Yeah. Senator Erpenbach?
Well, Mike's bringing up a lot of points. I do think we have collectively as a society a responsibility to chip in and help each other along as best as we possibly can. I wouldn't think healthcare would be a problem if it were affordable, and I don't think government would have as much of a role in healthcare as I think it needs to have if healthcare were affordable. It's not affordable anymore, and the way to make it affordable is for us to chip in and spread out the risk. So I can't stress this point enough. If someone gets cancer and they're in a purchasing pool of 4 million people, I'm helping to defray that cost of that person. I have absolutely no problem with that at all. None. You know, it's not their fault they get cancer, they just get cancer. Mm-hmm. So I do think as a society we have a responsibility to do the best we can on this issue to chip in and help everyone along.
Thank you, Mike. Herman in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Say, Senator Erpenbach, I heard you speak on the Wisconsin Eye, or Eye Wisconsin. And you gave a very good talk to the Republicans by pointing out that what they call the greatest tax increase in the world, $15 billion, you countered that with the fact that $17 billion would be saved in premiums. And therefore, it's then you can take care of the uninsured. Since that time, I heard the Republicans constantly referring to the biggest tax increase without qualifying that it would offset the by the premiums.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then the newspapers and the radio carry on the same thing that they just stop after they say the $15 billion is the largest tax increase. I would like to see the committee or the conference committee, whenever the Republicans bring up this largest tax increase, that they would stop them and say, listen, it's offset by the premium savings. Mm-hmm. But no one does that. So
Right.
So can you tell the tell them to do it?
Tell them to do that.
Yeah, no, I'll certainly pass it along to them. And what Herman's talking about is Healthy Wisconsin isn't very expensive. It's $15.2 billion to operate and to get everybody coverage. But he brings up the point that right now we're spending about $17.3 billion in premium costs alone. So there's a little over $2 billion savings in premium costs, and we've covered the 500,000 people out there who do not have insurance. And for those who do have insurance, chances are it's going to be much more affordable under Healthy Wisconsin. There's savings all over the place, administratively and so on. But again, it all boils down to the more, you know, it's like, believe it or not, it's like the Sam's Club or Walmart concept. The more people who are in it, the cheaper it's going to be. And we're just taking that same approach with health insurance.
Herman, thanks very much for the call. Eric in Dodgeville is with us now. Hi, Eric.
Good morning. I just have a quick question. If it's going to be 4% for the average family or 4% maximum, how much percentage would people have to pay in order to have it 100% funded by the people as opposed to the taxpayer? And I can really take my answer.
Right.
I don't understand. You're saying that the premiums would be approximately 4% of gross, right?
Social Security income.
Right. How much would it be if it was 100% funded by the individual as opposed to...
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So in other words, if an individual had to pay for it on their own?
Right.
Well, it all depends on basically their medical makeup, and it depends on where they work and so on. But, I mean, it's extremely expensive. If you were to go out and get insurance on your own right now, I'm 46 and I'm in okay shape. But, you know, just based on the numbers, if I were to go out and get health care and pay for it on my own, I mean, I don't know. It would be way beyond affordable for me.
Right, I understand that. That's not really what I was trying to figure out. What I was trying to figure out is how much is funded by the taxpayer, or not the taxpayer, but the government as a whole.
Oh, for Healthy Wisconsin?
Right.
Actually, you know, none of it is, because it's all funded by the individual in the place of employment. That's the way we work under Healthy Wisconsin.
Okay.
So there wouldn't be any outside of Medicaid programs, there wouldn't be any public tax dollars outside of the payroll tax going into this.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks very much, Eric. Bob in Pewaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Joy. I love your programming. Senator Erpenbach, I'm a small business owner, and I consider myself a strong Democrat. Could you explain a little bit further as far as how does the payroll tax, how is it figured out when it comes to spouses and dependents? And also, what happens to an individual when they retire and they don't have a payroll tax anymore?
Okay. If the individual retires before the age of 65, because at 65, if you're eligible for Medicare, you're not part of Healthy Wisconsin. So if the person retires, let's say, at 59, they would pay 10% of their gross income, or their adjusted gross income, I'm sorry. So it's 10% of their adjusted gross income. And then the second thing, basically the way Healthy Wisconsin is set up, that if you have a job, you're paying into it with the 4% of the Social Security wages. And for the smallest of businesses out there, again, we have to figure out a way to help small businesses through Healthy Wisconsin, because there are some out there that can't afford this right now the way it's set up. And so my job is to figure out a way to try and make it affordable for the small businesses out there for a little while.
Thank you, Bob. And one last call. Cheryl in Green Bay. Hi.
Hi, Senator. Quick question. I work for a home health agency, and this will save us tremendous costs for our employees, and will save our employees a lot of money. 4% is a lot less than what we're paying right now for health insurance. My concern, though, is that is this an expansion of the medical assistance program?
No, not at all. What this is just, again, the way medical assistance works, if you're eligible for Badger Care or Badger Care Plus or any other Medicaid program out there, you would not be part of Healthy Wisconsin. And that, again, that amounts to about, we got about 5.5 million people in the state. 4 million people of that 5.5 would be eligible for Healthy Wisconsin and have to be in it. So it isn't really an expansion. Again, this is just a way to allow people to pool together, spread out the risk, lower the cost, and buy their health insurance.
Yeah. Well, Senator Erpenbach, I know you want Healthy Wisconsin to not be forgotten in these budget negotiations, but just let me ask you a general question to end it here. Do you think we're going to have a state budget with Healthy Wisconsin or not by the end of next week?
I really, really hope we do. And again, if we do, then to me it says that everybody in this building at the Capitol understands that health care is a problem and this is probably the best way to go. If it's not the best way to go, I want to know what is. If this isn't going to work, I want to know what what the other plan is going to be. There's absolutely positively no reason in the world, Joy, why we can't have a state budget by the end of next week. None. And for those who say, well, Healthy Wisconsin's getting in the way, man, it's an excuse. You know, it's one of the biggest excuses around. So I don't think Healthy Wisconsin is an impediment to getting the budget done at all. Because, again, there's so many other things that we don't disagree on right now that we should be talking about.
We'll leave it there for now. Thanks a lot for being with us.
All right, Joey. Have a good weekend.
You too. John Erpenbach, Democratic State Senator from Middleton. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.